Guys, are you ready to heat things up this Christmas? Go with a win-win this year. Something that'll make her feel hot and heat up your holiday too. How? A super warm, world-famous hoodie footy from our friends at Pajamagram. The hoodie footy is the ultimate solution to get her hot when she's freezing cold. It combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas. She's going to love it. Go to Pajamagram.com today. Use code SAVE10 and you'll save $10 on adult-size hoodie footies when you use that promo code SAVE10. That's Pajamagram.com. SAVE10. Tell them AJ Hoffman sent you.
Yeah, were people around the NFL really that shocked? We'll talk about it. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Bauer and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Bauer, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Send a message. If Aaron likes it, he will read it. And you'll be doing him a solid because he gets to participate in the show. It makes him happy. There's also Twitter at Fred Bauer, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you are so inclined, you can watch us on the Twitch channel. Just go to ESPN975.com, click on Watch Us on Twitch. Or if you're on Twitch, just search for ESPN975.com. And you can put your comments in the chat. And if they're good, we'll get to them. So plenty of ways to get in touch with the show and let us know what you think. Mr. Hoffman, what did you think of your beloved Texans yesterday?
Well,
they didn't cover 9.5.
No, they didn't get there. The number didn't get home. It's so funny because literally a week ago, we sat here and I was like, you know what, man? They proved me wrong because I said that when there's a big situation, they tend to melt. There's no way they could play up to that level. And look what they did. They went out and they beat the Patriots. And I was like, man, this was Deshaun's best game. This was Bill O'Brien's best game. He coached so well. And then yesterday happened. And it's almost criminal. And we talked about this. I forget what other game we were talking about. That it was, oh, the Bears game, the Bears Cowboys game. That the Bears got some, or the Cowboys got some points to make it look less atrocious than it was. This was not a two possession game.
No, not even
this
close.
This was one of the worst beatdowns an NFL team has given another team this season. This was complete and utter domination. Almost anything good that happened for the Texans happened in garbage time after the game was well out of reach.
Not almost anything. Everything except for one
field goal.
That's it. Everything else was garbage.
This game was the probability of the Texans winning this game was 99.4% at halftime. This was just a thumping. And I'll be honest, everybody on that team should be embarrassed. Like, I'm talking about, you shouldn't even want to go out in public around the city this week. On your home turf against Drew Locke and the 4-8 Broncos, who we're like, you know, I mean, they can't move the ball. You know, they might slow down the Texans offense, but they can't move the ball. Well, they moved the ball at it, and you showed up. You showed up in your stupid dodgeball costumes, pushing around Cole like he's Patches O'Houlihan.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a running back. And that's what those linebackers did all day. Dodge Philip Lindsay. Dodge Noah Fant. just a gross, gross showing. The offensive line was horrible. I'll be honest, Deshaun Watson was horrible. And he reverted back to the take the snap and then start running in circles like he's freaking Johnny Football and then chucking the ball and hoping something good happens. I mean, it was a top-to-bottom embarrassing performance. And, I mean, one of the worst coached games I've seen. I mean, they go for it on fourth down before the half.
What was that play call?
First of all, you're like inside your own 30.
Well, yeah. If you're going to go for it, though, don't you run the ball there? A quarterback sneak gets it.
I'll be honest. I'm not running it. I'm not playing there. I'm punting it away and hoping that I'm going to halftime with with only a 24-3 deficit. Because 21 points and a half, it doesn't seem like it's
doable. Unattainable. I mean, and this is a team that has coughed up a lot of second half leads. So, yeah.
But you go down 4 touchdowns at halftime?
You got no shot.
You've got no shot. And it was cruise control for the rest of the game. And it just gross. And Laremy Tunsil, this dude, this is your king. This is the one. This is the guy that you're going to pay like the greatest offensive lineman in history. This guy who had 3 false starts, probably should have been called for 6 to 7, and then has the audacity after the game to say, I think they're targeting me. The officials are targeting me on these false starts.
Well,
no, you're moving early.
No, they are targeting you because you're doing it.
Yeah, he did it once I tweeted out the situation because I rewatched the game, and he couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe that they had called a false start on him.
I mean, it was only a half a second off on that one.
It was incredulous. He was just like, well, how dare you call that? That was so obviously not a false start. It was 9 minutes in the second. It was 2nd and 10. There's a false start. Made it 2nd and 15. The next play, 2nd and 15, he 100% should have been called for another false start, and they didn't call it. You're not being targeted, bro. This has been a problem for you from day one. This happened. This is your bugaboo. You got to fix it. You can't blame refs for calling false starts. It's not like it's a judgment call. Like,
it's not holding.
Not holding. It's not pass interference. Like, maybe was, maybe wasn't. You're moving before the play starts.
And false starts at home?
Come on. Come on. And I think he had a false start on a running play, which is the worst because you're like jumping forward on the play instead of like normally you're scared of the pass rush or you're falling back. He like jumps forward on a play. Like, how is this even happening? There's not one. Kiki Kuti. Oh, first of all, Will Fuller, I don't know you better be real hurt, bro. That's a bad look if you're not real hurt. And Kiki Kuti, I think we can safely assume that what was it, like a 3-game span last year where he looked good was fool's gold. And he's just a guy. And he's a guy who can't take care of the football, apparently. And
well, not only can he not stay on the field, apparently he practices like crap. So, yeah, that was awful.
And I know hindsight's 50-50, as they all say, as the legends say. 50-50 hindsight.
At least 3 legends that we found out have said that.
I always forget who they are, but I like it anyway. Kareem Jackson would be nice to have around here right now instead of on that team because that had to be one of the best games of his life.
It's the best one I've ever seen him play.
That was unbelievable. And that play where he blows up Hopkins and Hopkins turns around and sees his jersey number and is like, what? I mean, dude, that might as well be the cover story of what happened to this team. Is DeAndre Hopkins sitting on the ground, turning his head at Kareem Jackson, watching him celebrate, just mind blown that just happened. Because that's what mine was. My mind was blown. I thought, and we talked about this a lot last week, this is a sleepy-ass spot for the Texans.
Yeah.
This is a game, after the Patriots, the biggest win of Bill O'Brien's career, and heading into the Titans, which is a key divisional matchup, this is the kind of spot where I could see him having a letdown. When I said letdown, I meant like you know, not beating them by 9.5 points, not getting your pants pulled down on national television and basically exposed to be totally fraudulent. And let me tell you something. The Chiefs, who, you talk about fraudulent wins. That Chiefs win over the Patriots is about as fraudulent as it gets.
Yeah.
But it's still a Patriots loss, and it's still another day where Tom Brady looks super, super mortal. And suddenly, that win last week isn't like this incredible, amazing win. It may be you just happen to be first in line of the Patriots melt. And to follow it up with this, it's like, oh, but what are these Texans? I don't know. But I don't feel good about them right now. And I don't feel good about their chances against the Titans. I don't like what I'm seeing. I was so stoked last week about Deshaun Watson, what he did, and then the regression. I don't know what to expect, honestly. My mind is just blown on what to think about these guys.
Yeah, I have a bunch of thoughts on this that we'll get to when we come back. I honestly, I don't even know how much time I want to spend on this stupid team, because that was just an embarrassment. And you're right, they should be embarrassed. The coaches should be embarrassed. And there was just a lot wrong with this. The one thing I'll say before we go to break is, with the Ravens game, you could kind of write it off a little bit, because the Ravens are torching everybody. And say, all right, you know what? Yeah, that was a tough spot.
The Ravens are the best team in the league.
Yeah, you could, you know, so you went in there, you got your butt kicked.
Okay.
And every other game, they've been in it. This one, they got ravened by a 4-8 team with a rookie quarterback making his first start on the road. And
shame.
Yeah, that was my article. I used the Shane Bell picture in it.
But, and now, think about this. Think about the Texans are 8-5, and we always talked about these last four games, how it was a soft spot in the schedule after the murderer's row. So they get through that, the Raiders, Jags, Ravens, Colts, Patriots, 4-1, and it's like, oh, now we just got this four-game stretch against weak opposition at the end. Does at Titans, at Bucks, home Titans sound like gimmies at this point?
Yeah, and that's the problem. If the team that showed up yesterday shows up for any of those games, they don't win.
No.
And they get blown out by all three games. All right, we'll get that. There's a few things I want to get to that are irritating the snot out of me about this team, but
there's literally snot on Fred's shirt right now.
There is.
It's out of
here. Yeah, I've been rubbing it all over the pocket. Hey, guys, give the gift of Houston Rockets basketball this holiday season. If you're looking for a gift and you want to do something a little bit different, and you got a Rockets fan in your life, how about this? Tickets, brand new gear, kids club memberships. There's lots of great gift options for that Rockets fan in your life. Holiday packs give you the opportunity to see the Rockets for 5 great games at a great price. And every holiday pack comes with a gift card to the Rockets Team Shop. The Rockets Team Shop has so much to offer these days. You'll find the latest jerseys, T-shirts, jackets, hats, kids and women's apparel, novelty items, and much, much more. And for the young Rockets fans, Kid Club's memberships make the perfect stocking stuffer. Memberships come with 2 tickets to a game, lots of cool Rockets swag, and additional season-long perks. So if you're looking for something different, you've got a sports fan in your life, you want to get them a great gift, then the Rockets are offering you all kinds of opportunities. Those 5-game packages are great. What else do you need? Head to Rockets.com for all of your holiday needs today. That's Rockets.com.
Guys, are you ready to heat things up this Christmas? Go with a win-win this year. Something that'll make her feel hot and heat up your holiday too. How? Super warm, world-famous hoodie footy from our friends at Pajamagram. The hoodie footy is the ultimate solution to get her hot when she's freezing cold. It combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas. She's going to love it. Go to Pajamagram.com today. Use code SAVE10 and you'll save $10 on adult-size hoodie footies when you use that promo code SAVE10. That's Pajamagram.com. SAVE10. Tell them AJ Hoffman sent you.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. So, a couple things that I wanted to get to from this game. And Hockley Dan on the Twitch channel says, it's incredible how prepared the Texans look for certain teams they should lose to and then look completely lost in the game they should win. I have a theory, and I think it goes back to fundamentally one of the issues I have with Bill O'Brien. This insistence on changing the game plan every single week. You've got some things that work pretty well for you. And like, hey, Duke Johnson last week, where was he this week?
He caught a pass and then like flipped around in the air.
Yeah, well.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's so many of those little misdirection plays and plays to the tight end and not attacking the cornerbacks. Yeah, all that stuff that worked, they didn't do any of it yesterday because they have to come in with a brand new game plan every week. And the reason they're inconsistent, which is a word that O'Brien himself used, is because of that. Because a lot of times they come in with a game plan that has no chance of working. It's just different from the week before. And I don't know what Romeo was doing yesterday, but let's not put any pressure on the rookie quarterback and just hope our guys can cover. And then you're going to throw Jonathan Joseph out there on a tight end. What did you expect? Yeah. I mean, the whole game plan was flawed. And of course, you know, that start, then once things start rolling downhill on them, they're not a team that's going to overcome that. And you throw in the defensive touchdown and suddenly, but when it's 21-0, yeah, this game's over. I don't care that this team blew a lead to the Vikings. Vikings are a better team than the Texans. And you know, Deshaun Watson was awful. And you know what? You look at his numbers at the end because of all that garbage time. I'll tell you the numbers that it really helped, his damn fantasy numbers, because guess who I was playing this week?
Oh, you were playing against him?
Yeah. Mm. But it's in the semifinal. Typical me, number one seed, playing the four seed in the semifinal. Best record, most points. Yeah, this is every fantasy league I've been in for the last 10 years. And usually I lose in the first round. And I was losing thanks to Deshaun Watson. But shout out to Austin Eckler.
Oh, yeah. He
because that that was the difference in the game.
Yeah.
And I'm going to the finals. Going to play in the championship next week. And I won't have to face Deshaun.
You're
going to
get Charlie Brown so
bad. You know what? Hey, at least I'm there.
That's
because
true.
It happened in the hockey when you won 2 years ago. I had the best record. You beat me in the first round. And then go on and win the thing. It happens every time I make it to the playoffs. So he's sitting there running for that 3-yard touchdown and nobody's touching. I'm like, come on, really? And he's going to look like he had a good game fantasy-wise, and he did fantasy-wise. But he's but totally empty stats. That's the definition. When we talk about empty stats, that's the definition. That's it. Go back and just watch that because that team had no chance, and they're just – at that point, the Broncos are just laying back and saying, let's just get to the end of the game. And it was embarrassing. And from a coaching perspective, they got their pants pulled down. The players didn't respond. And it looked to me like, okay, well, we'll just worry about next week. And you're never going to be a great team doing that. Yes, you're going to lose some games you shouldn't. And we talked about it. Yeah, it's going to be a tough spot. But you're not supposed to just come out and do nothing. I mean, that's... And one thing about this team, you can usually tell by the second or third offensive possession whether or not they have a game plan that's going to work. And yesterday, they didn't. You could tell. So they're not going to score any points. And they didn't until the Broncos said, okay, we'll let you have a few here because the game's over.
Yeah, it was. And guys, this Broncos team, this receiving crew that put up 309 yards and 3 touchdowns. I bet if you asked average NFL fan, they would recognize they'd probably recognize Cortland Sutton's name. They'd probably recognize Royce Freeman's name, probably recognize Philip Lindsay's name. Noah Fant, Tim Patrick, Deshaun Hamilton, Andrew Beck, Devontae Booker, Jeff Heirman, Troy Fumagalli. These are the guys that were just
like a guy in the witness protection program.
Yes. I mean, everybody on the team had their way with the Texans. And I'm not even like, you know, just as someone who I was thinking to myself during this game, I went on Denver radio and said, I don't really see a way they can lose this game. I said, I can see a way that it's a close game, but I can't picture them losing. Like, I was embarrassed that I said that in Denver.
I'm embarrassed for you.
They're never going to let me back on those stations there.
Well, I was on a Philly station this week and essentially said the same thing. It's like, oh, well, they're in the playoffs. There's no way they cannot make the playoffs. They're going to win at least two of these games. But, yeah. So, but the problem is, like I said, the Ravens thing, you could write off because they've answered the bell every other game, even when they've lost. They've at least been in the game. They were all close ones. This one against an inferior team at home where you don't show up at all, well, that doesn't bode well because if that team shows up like they did yesterday, they can't win another game. Now, I'll give you one positive. This is the only positive that I could take out of the entire ordeal. They tend to bounce back from crap efforts like this with good efforts and wins. So I hope that they spent the whole 2 weeks scouting the Titans and just ignored the Broncos because that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
And that they're ready to play next week. Because if they play like this, Aaron could be playing quarterback for the Titans and they couldn't beat him. Man. Yeah, I just don't know what the hell this team is. Every time they give you a little bit of hope, then what happens?
Yeah.
This. They just come out and pee all over themselves. And it's just one of those that you can't take a single positive from that game if you're a Texans fan. Not a single one.
Someone pointed out on Reddit last night that I saw it this morning when I was doing show prep. Ever since week two, their entire pattern has been win two games, lose one game. Win two games, lose one game. Ever since week two.
Yeah, a lot of people have kind of brought that up, and it's like, okay, that's guess they're supposed to win the next two.
Yeah.
But, boy, I sure don't feel good about this team. And realistically, hey, when you beat the Patriots, you think, you know what? If this team can play at this level, then maybe they can make a run in the playoffs. There's Peloton girl again. Did you see the gin commercial she made?
Yes,
that was
brilliant.
That was awesome. Basically, if you haven't seen it, she's having gin with her friends and she's getting trashed and it's talking about new beginnings. So she's obviously divorced the guy. And then right at the end, one of the girls says, "You look great, by the way."
It's Ryan Reynolds' gin company, of course.
Yeah.
Because of his sense of humor. I'll tweet it out too.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But no, I don't have any faith that this team can do anything after that. And I don't like overreacting to one game. But this is also the thing is, I could, the Ravens game you could live with because it seemed to be an outlier. Every team has a game like that.
And it's the Ravens.
Yeah, who are doing this to everybody. But good teams don't do this at home to 4-8 teams that have nothing to play for with a rookie quarterback. And that's where you look at it and go, man, they're one and done. They're one and done. Maybe
if they make it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll make it just because of the way the wild card situation is playing out. But
if they lose two of the last three, they won't make it.
It depends on what the Steelers do.
And
Buffalo may lose a couple more coming home, too. So, I mean, I don't think that they're going to miss the playoffs. But if they show up like they did yesterday, yeah, they'll lose the last three games and they will miss the playoffs.
Well, it's crazy how fast they're going
to need new jobs.
Yeah, and my computer career is a place they could look. Guys, if you're not happy in the job that you've got, maybe you're not making enough money. Maybe you are sick of your boss. Maybe you're done with it. You hate the job. Okay, cool. Do something about it. Change it. You want to get started on a real career, my computer career. 4 months of experience or 4 months of training is all it takes, and you can get hired by a my computer career graduate. I mean, like Anna did. Guys, go to mycomputercareer.edu, take their free career evaluation today, start your new life in as little as 4 months with no computer experience or training whatsoever. Helping people start an IT career from scratch is what they do. You'll attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week, and you're going to get everything you need to get started. And then they're going to help you get into the industry because they work with employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill for my fellow vets. Classes are starting up soon. Go take that free career evaluation today. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
We ran the ball for over 100 yards. I mean, it was a horrible game, but like the offensive line, again, we had some issues with penalties, like has been pointed out 50 times between the last two press conferences, rightfully so. But I think the offensive line actually played a decent game.
Okay. Nobody played a decent game, Bill. Just stop. Just stop it. 713-780-3776 if you wish to get in. And a couple things. Mott says the 2018 Patriots got blown out by a 6-10 Lions and the Titans last year. Looked up Super Bowl teams that got blown out in the regular season. It's quite a few. Not excusing yesterday's bleep show, but it's not unprecedented. No, it's not, but the difference was I'm pretty sure both those Patriots games were on the road. And the Texans have done enough things poorly for me to say there's no way. There's no way. If you want to buy a Texans Super Bowl ticket, be my guest.
You were asking during the break, how do we do in the contest this week? So I pulled up our picks.
Yeah.
And Aaron tried to screw me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you had Washington.
Aaron, you're in charge of this game, right?
The spreadsheet?
Yeah.
Yeah, what did I do?
I mean, I'm not a genius, but green means you won and red means you lost, right? Yeah. Washington plus 13 is red.
Didn't they lose by 15?
They lost 20 to 15. They lost by 5.
I read it as 30 to 15. That is my bad. I can't read. I can't do math. I can't read.
Dude.
Yeah, we got to get an Asian back in here.
Look at that. It's fixed.
You know what? Shout out me for not letting RJ have the Falcons minus 3.
Yeah.
Because it was 3.5. So he took the Bucks minus 3. Push.
Okay.
So good. RJ and I are even. Now?
All right. Yeah. I'm still a game behind you guys, right?
We're 2 games above 500. You're at 500.
Okay. So I'm 2 games behind. So I got a rally here.
Brad is 5-6. He dropped a game under because he had Georgia. And Fezzik is 5-7. He dropped another game because he had the Raiders.
Yeah. I remember. So I knew somebody had the Raiders. So
good for Team Blitz here.
Yeah. Yeah. We're holding our own. I've been on a pretty good run because I was like 2 games under at one point.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you've won 3 of your last 4.
Okay. If I can just finish up like that, finish strong.
Strong.
Then it'll all be good. Can we talk a little college football, or do you want to beat the dead horse?
No, I think
more?
We can move on to college football. There was a lot that happened this week, so it's worth mentioning, certainly.
First off, it sure was made easy for the committee. The way everything played out.
Yeah. Well, as far as who got in, it was certainly made easy.
Yeah.
I think there was some hand-wringing over who was 1, who was 2, and I think rightfully so. The more I looked at it, it's like, man, you can make a really great argument for both those teams. You could talk about top 12 wins, top 25 wins. I don't think they could have gotten it wrong. It sucks because the team that got number 2 is – I said it on Twitter. I said, whoever gets number 1 is going to be a double-digit favorite. Whoever gets number 2 is going to be an underdog. And that would have been either way. Had they gone Ohio State 1, LSU 2, it would have been the same result. LSU would be an underdog to Clemson. Ohio State would be a double-digit favorite against Oklahoma. But I'm not going to argue that they got it right or wrong because I really think they could have gotten it. It would have been right no matter what they chose. I think that those two teams have great resumes. You know, I looked at Ohio State's non-conference.
It's a hell of a lot better than you realize.
They beat the MAC champ. They beat the Conference USA champ. And they beat the AAC runner-up. That was their 3 non-conference games.
Yeah, by scores of 45-21, 42-0, and 76-5.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you can make... And
you can also argue for... I mean, LSU played Texas at Texas, which... I give them a lot of credit for scheduling that game. It just doesn't end up being a super mega quality win at the end of the season. And you can say, well, the air went out of their tires after that, or they got injured after that. I mean, listen, you just got to understand, Texas didn't have a good season, period. And it sucks for LSU more than it probably sucks for Texas even. It ended up working out. But the other thing, the thing that I think LSU left out there for criticism is they played an FCS team. And no one made them do that. They chose to do that. So had they gotten penalized for that, I wouldn't have felt bad for them. So, I mean, I think it would, these two resumes were both really close. I'm excited for Ohio State Clemson. I would have been excited for LSU Clemson, which the 2-3 game was going to be way more exciting
right,
to me.
Right.
I think anybody arguing for we need a 5 or 6 or we need a 6 or 18
playoff. Oh, my
playoff,
God. I've seen so many of those stories today.
And
yeah, people, you can't make this is not the year to try to make that argument.
Dude, people were during the Wisconsin game, of course, everyone assumes Ohio State's going to lose at halftime because they had a bad first half. Like, and just pretend like they're not one of the best teams in college football all season long. Like they're dead in the water because they're down 2 scores at halftime. And they're like, well, if Ohio State loses, they're out. I was like, really?
No.
Who's going to go in ahead of them? Wisconsin. Oh, yeah. 2-loss Wisconsin that Ohio State already thumped once is going to jump Ohio State with 1 loss? Nope. Oregon. 2-loss Oregon? Nope. It was already decided at that point that Ohio State was in win or lose.
Right.
It was just a matter of will they play Clemson or will they play – and it ended up not even mattering. They could have lost that game, and I think it would be the same exact matchup.
They would be 3 instead of 2, but okay.
No difference.
Doesn't make a difference. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, it all fell into place. Utah had its chance. They got their ass kicked.
And I was wrong about Utah. I thought that Utah would have a much better showing than that. That was a bad showing for them in a key time. And I guess some kudos to Oregon, but I mean.
Well.
And Utah came out in the second half like they wanted to play, but they dug themselves a hole. And they're not Ohio State. They couldn't get out of it.
I think the thing that kind of got them is their defensive line has been so good all year.
They got punked out.
But Oregon's offensive line is one of the best in the country. Yep. And they dominated that matchup. And really, Oregon dominated both matchups on the line. And that was the difference. And yeah, that's a good Utah team, but you know,
not as good as I thought.
Well,
and I'll own that.
And the thing is, when you look at they played probably 3 teams with talent close to theirs, and they went 1-2.
Yeah.
So, and you don't know that until you play the championship game. And yeah, that was a good win for Oregon. And then, boy, yeah, Baylor. What took them so long to go to that 3rd-string quarterback?
I don't know. But it changed things for him.
Yeah, that kid can wing it. But all that convinced me was that Oklahoma is just not that good. Now, they're going to have a month to get healthy. Well, not a month, but what, 3 weeks to get healthy, get everybody right. But, man, I see almost no chance of them beating LSU. And I might even take LSU to cover 12.5. Because what LSU did to Georgia was damn near criminal, and Georgia's a damn good football team.
They are, and LSU's offense, oh my God. And everybody was like, see, look at LSU's defense. Look how dominant. That didn't impress me. Georgia's offense is not explosive. They haven't been explosive all year, which is why I eventually said, while I wanted to back Georgia, I can't because their offense just can't do anything.
I think we talked about that on Friday, especially with the injuries and the suspensions. It's like, boy, where's the offense going to come from? And boy, it did make a difference, that kid not being there in the first half.
What I didn't expect was in the good-on-good matchup, the LSU offense and the Georgia defense, for the LSU offense just to dominate. And that was really impressive. And that's far and away the best defense they've seen this year.
Yeah.
They hammered them. Like, you can tell me, oh, well, Florida's defense is good, Auburn's defense is. Those defenses are fine. Georgia has a top 2 or 3 defense in the country. And LSU shredded them. And it makes me think that, you know what, maybe there is hope for them against a Clemson or an Ohio State. And
I think the only defense that I find comparable to theirs is Clemson's. And if they can do that against Georgia, they can probably do it against Clemson. The difference is I think Clemson can score. Offensively, they have a lot more than Georgia.
Yeah.
But I also thought it was interesting that, and I don't know if the committee was just lip servicing it or what, but they said that there was discussion about putting Georgia in over OU, and I don't think you could do that, especially since Georgia wasn't really competitive in that game. And I don't think much of OU. I think they're early in the season, I really thought they were going to be special, and the second half of the season, they've been
And I don't think they have any shot against LSU. But I think these are the right four teams. And if you're going to do eight, what are we talking about now? Penn State? You're going to put Baylor in with two losses?
Yeah, we don't need that.
And I will stand
anybody
by this.
Anybody who had a chance, who deserves a chance to play for the championship is there. Anybody who lost two games over the course of the season, sorry, man, don't lose those games. And everybody's like, well, what about Oregon? They lost early. I'm like, don't lose to Arizona State with a backup quarterback. How about that?
Yeah.
And then you could say, well, maybe they can play with Clemson or Ohio State or LSU. Honestly, if we could have three teams, if there was a way to have a three-team playoff around Robin, that'd be more fitting than adding more teams now. Because when you're adding in teams that lost two games, you're punishing teams like LSU and Clemson and Ohio State that went the whole season unbeaten.
Yeah, I think the only thing that this points out is if you still had the, oh, pick two teams thing,
then it'd be bad.
Then you'd have a real issue. But how did Oklahoma not impress you? They destroyed Charlie Brewer. You can stop right there. OU defense shut them down. Baylor is not good, and I'll stand by
OU defense shut Baylor down. I mean, that was a 30-23 game in overtime. So what's that mean about OU's offense? Were they shut down? They scored 23 points in regulation too.
And I will stand by this. If Baylor had won that game, the committee would have put Georgia in fourth.
I think they might have, yeah.
I mean, if they even had a discussion with it being OU.
Or Wisconsin.
They would have put, well.
Or Oregon.
You could have made a case for any of those.
But.
And I think they would have, because they're always going to take the name brand. And, man, if you looked at that game and were impressed by Baylor, okay.
Oklahoma ran for 2.9 yards per carry. Oh, yeah. Juggernaut.
Yeah, you watch that game, and then you watch LSU Georgia, and you watch Ohio State Wisconsin, and you tell me that those two teams are comparable to those. We're not watching the same game.
Listen, you got to have a fourth team in there. I guess at the end of the day, Oklahoma's got the fourth best resume.
Yeah,
I mean, would
I have picked them because I think they're one of the four best teams? Probably not, but you know, but they earned it. So,
yes.
And that's what you're supposed to do.
Would I take Auburn, three-loss Auburn, over Oklahoma on a neutral? Yes, but that's beside the point.
All right, guys. Well, all of these games you can bet on, and LSU is a double-digit favorite. And you know where to bet, mybookie.ag. And it's not just that. NFL's not done yet. Plenty of NFL games still to bet on, including one tonight. There's you can bet hockey. You can bet college basketball's in full swing. If you're into the NBA, they've got all of it. And the great thing about MyBookie is, if the game's already started, they've got in-game, and you can play in-game all the time, and it's really fun for me because a lot of times I'll miss the start of a game. Get in there, you get actually better odds than what you would have gotten, and you jump in and you play it. And if you haven't signed up yet, here's what you do. Use promo code RADIO, and you're going to get an exclusive double your money offer. They're going to double your first deposit up to $1,000 to wager with, and they've got all kinds of other deposit options for you, so make sure you pick the one that's best for you, but use promo code RADIO if you want that double your first deposit. And when you win, you get paid. Nobody pays out faster. Promo code RADIO, mybookie.ag. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie.
He still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Oklahoma could beat LSU or lose by a TD, and y'all would still hate.
Yeah.
Well.
They lost to Kansas State. Hate.
Yeah, well. That's
wait. Hate rhymes with Kansas State.
Can I?
Why you want to hate? Lost to Kansas State. Man, I could write a whole little song there. A ditty.
You could. How do you work? Almost lost to TCU in there.
Yeah, you know. I don't know. It might
be a little harder to rhyme that. Yeah. By the way, if you're a fan of a
team... Why we 10-point dogs? Almost lost to the Frogs.
Like, there you go. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm loving this. I'm loving this. Can I manage you?
Yes.
Oh, man. The thing is, though, if somebody... If you're a fan of a team, just because somebody thinks another team's better, that's not hate.
No.
I hate to break it to you, but that is just... that's an opinion. That's not
hate. This is going to come as alarming news. I hate your team as much as I hate everybody else's team. I don't care about OU. I don't care about LSU or Ohio State. I don't like any of these teams. I don't care. You know what I care about? Money. I care about being right. I just want to be right. Is that a crime, Fred?
No.
If Oklahoma beats LSU, cool. Okay. What, do you think I'll pick them to beat Ohio State or Clemson? Nope. And then if they do it, man, what a great story. And if you're still worried about people saying, didn't think Oklahoma would win after you won a national championship, that's a you problem, not a me. That's you worried. Like, your team just won a national championship and all you worry about is what some radio dudes think of your team. People put way too much stock into what media people think about their team. Like, what Fred and I say has, like, even when it comes to the seeding and ranking the teams in the playoff, like, if I said Ohio State should be number one, do you know how much that matters? Zero. It matters zero because I'm not on the committee. I don't have a Heisman vote.
I should be on the committee.
I should get a Heisman vote.
There is a sports station in Norman, Oklahoma. I bet they spent the entire day talking about how Oklahoma has a real chance to go in there and shock the world.
I'm sure.
Yeah, but they'd sound like this if they did it.
If I had a Heisman ballot, it would say Robbie Kelly 1, Joe Burrow 2.
Robbie Kelly.
Did you hear about this? Robbie Kelly, who is the backup quarterback for Akron, he's got 75 passing yards, 0 touchdowns, and 3 picks this year for just an awful, awful Akron team. His QB rating is 1.0. He got a ton of write-in votes on the Heisman House balloting thing. He finished with 5.4% of the vote, ahead of Tua Tagovailoa, Jerry Jeudy, Chase Young, and Trevor Lawrence. He finished 4th behind Joe Burrow, Tyler Huntley, and Jalen Hurts. The craziest thing is, had he won, whoever wins that fan vote gets a real Heisman vote. Robbie Kelly could have gotten a real Heisman vote, but you dummies voted for Tyler Huntley instead.
Man, I wish I'd known that because I've been behind that 100%.
Dude, I would have pushed that agenda. Kyle Trask got 10,000 votes as a write-in, the Florida quarterback who sucks. Those could have gone to Robbie Kelly. That would have put him into second place or third place behind ahead of Jalen Hurts. You guys were selfish to vote for Joe Burrow and Tyler Huntley.
Whoever spearheaded that campaign, they should have reached out to us. They should in the future if they decide to do something like this.
It's closed now. I saw it too late, which is disappointing. Damn. But shout out Robbie Kelly for finishing 4th.
Aaron, this is part of your job for next year. Vote. Is if they do this again, let us know early enough that we can get behind somebody
yes.
like this. Assuming we're still alive,
right?
In a year, but
I don't know who will be back for UMass next year. But if it's Andrew Brito,
oh yeah,
that's who's getting my vote. I can tell you that now.
We need a school though that's got that sucks, but has a really big alumni base, like Rutgers. We need a Rutgers quarterback.
Yeah, that'd be
good. Or something like that, because that'll get people behind it.
Yeah. Huh. I'll have to think about it. Maybe UCLA.
Maybe UCLA.
But that wouldn't be as funny. The UCLA guy wouldn't be as funny. I just wanted to
make Rice would be perfect, except there's no Rice fans.
No, they no wouldn't, one cares.
Although they could hack the computers. They're smart enough to do that.
This is meaningless drivel. We're not going to spend our times on this.
No, we're just going to go play Dungeons & Dragons. Fred, you're invited. 713, Baylor lost to OU twice, only 2 losses of the season. How many times have we heard how hard it is to beat the same team the second time around? Except almost everybody that played the same team the second time around.
Yeah, how hard was Ohio State did that same thing?
Memphis played back-to-back. So the good news is we'll find out how good the Big 12 is during the bowl season. I got bad news for you. No, you won't.
No, you won't.
You'll find out whether Oklahoma's good when they play LSU.
What I will say is
the other bowl games don't mean a damn thing.
First bet I made out of the gate when the bowl numbers got released, Texas plus 7 against Utah.
Yeah, I like that play too.
I mean, and do I think Texas is better than Utah? Absolutely not. But Utah could care less about this game. The Alamo Bowl, think about that.
They
were on their way to the college football playoff, and now they're in San Antonio at the Alamo Bowl.
Against the fifth best Big 12 team.
Playing against 7-5 Texas. They don't care. They don't care.
Andrew Brito is a redshirt sophomore, so unless they just throw him out in the garbage heap, he should be on.
You mean unless they get a scholarship quarterback? I mean, that could happen in the offseason. It's crazy.
5'8", 170.
Oh, it's so great.
Well,
he's going to be a great pro.
There's also, I do want to get to some of the coaching hires. Norvell goes to Florida State.
What did you think of that? Like, I think Mike Norvell's a good coach. That doesn't seem like the level that Florida State should be taking from.
Well, he's essentially what Willie Taggart was before he left Oregon, right?
How'd that
South Florida.
Out?
Yeah. Well,
maybe back to that well.
I think the guy's a good coach, but he's also was winning with Justin Fuente's guys and then some of his own that he brought in. I like the guy as a head coach. It seems like he's a little below what Florida State could get, but then again, look what Florida State's become. And we've talked about this before. They don't spend the money the way these other schools do. It's the reason Jimbo left.
Yeah.
And
they got crappy facilities. Like,
yeah, this is probably the best they can do.
Yeah, maybe Florida State's just not a great job anymore.
No, I think it was made a great job by Bobby Bowden, and Jimbo kept it going
for a little while.
Yeah, and then bailed on him. But there's some other ones that are kind of weird. You see that Arkansas is hiring the Georgia offensive line coach.
What number in the queue do you think he was?
and he's a guy who does that. He's a Brett Bielema guy, so he runs that kind of offense. That's not going to work there.
Little Laney Kiffin.
Little Laney Kiffin to Ole Miss?
I think that's a good hire.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that'll be fun. At least it'll be entertaining. And Missouri.
You mean Missouri.
Yeah, well, how about this? Eli Drinkwitz, who's...
I don't think that's a bad hire.
One season, though, at App State. That's what scares me. One season.
Great
season.
Yeah, it was a great season. I mean, I guess you can argue that, you know, Missouri probably should have something better than that. But that guy's been a successful OC. I mean, he's everywhere he's gone, his offenses have succeeded. So I don't know. Maybe I'm
always wanting to see more than 1 year from a guy. That's all.
He worked under Brian Harsin, who, you know, I'm a big Brian Harsin guy. He worked under Gus Malzahn, and I don't know. I think that guy's got it going on. Maybe I'm a sucker though.
No, I like his assistant resume.
He coached Cam Newton.
But that's like saying he coached Peyton Manning. You know, that there's not a whole lot there. But I do think I do worry about a guy who's had 1 year as a head coach, especially when it's not all your guys.
Yeah,
taking that kind of jump. But hopefully it works out for him because it doesn't take much to be competitive on that side of the bracket.
Nope,
you just got to get by Georgia and presumably Florida.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about CBDMD.com, and this is, you know who came in and asked me about it today? Joel Blank. Good old Joseph came in and was like, hey, man, how's that CBD stuff work? Dude, I love it. The CBD Freeze, which is the roll-on, sort of a menthol thing, he's got the same thing I've got, a balky shoulder. I've got the torn rotator cuff, torn bicep tendon, torn labrum. I've had it for years, and I just dealt with the pain. And then this thing came along, and man, after my workouts, I feel so much better. It's not just chuckleheads like me using it. There's top-tier athletes using this stuff. Bubba Watson, Daniel Cormier uses it. The list goes on and on. This is the real deal. And to show you how well it can work for you, CBDMD's offering a discount to our listeners. 20% off your order at CBDMD.com when you use the promo code ESPN975 at checkout. That's CBDMD.com, promo code ESPN975 at checkout to save 20%.
I wish I could spend my whole paycheck on new tires, said no one ever. That's why Jarvis Tire Pros makes buying tires simpler, so you can get back to when being on the move was carefree. For a limited time, get a $70 reward card after submission with the purchase of 4 new qualifying Michelin passenger or light truck tires. Jarvis Tire Pros. Hassle-free, guaranteed. Find out more at jarvistireandwheel.com. See michelinman.com/promo for complete details. Offer valid 11/13/19 through 12/13/19. Void where prohibited.